A healthy prayer life. I'm sure it is something that everybody in here would endorse and would say that that's the ideal scenario to have, an ideal prayer life. But the reality is, I wonder whether you do have an excellent, thriving, really truly fulfilling prayer life. Now, it's easy to give tips. We've probably all heard them. I've heard them and I've given them. Best way to improve your prayer life is have a prayer diary or pray at a fixed time every day or pray audibly. It'll help keep you awake, help you concentrate. They're useful. But the problem with those is that I don't think they address the root cause. I think the danger is prayer can become a function. It's a function, it's a task that we need to get better at, we need to skill up on. And I think that's to some extent missing the point. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." I want to say prayer, I believe, needs to be relational. It needs to come from the heart, and there needs to be awe and wonder. Scottish minister from the 1800s, George MacDonald, said this: "Why pray? If God is so good as you represent him, and if he knows all that we need, then why should it be necessary to ask him for anything? Well, my answer is this. What if God knows prayer to be the thing we need first and most, or if the main object in God's idea of prayer be the supply of our great and endless need, the need of God himself? What if the goal of all our smaller and lower needs lies in this, that they drive us to God? Hunger may drive the runaway child home so they may be fed. But the child always needs their mother more than a meal. Communion with God is the one need of the soul beyond all other needs. And prayer is the beginning of that communion. And the need of the soul is the beginning of that prayer." So three things. Firstly, true prayer is relational. Think about John 14, John 17. John 14, Jesus promises he's going away, he's coming back, he wants the disciples to be with him. John 17, that the great prayer, it's Jesus is saying that how he wants to be with the disciples. He wants them to be where he is. It's all about relationship, isn't it? Jesus wanting to be close with his disciples, with believers. Now, when you're in love with somebody, you want to be with them, don't you? Think about the Lord Jesus. We're told that Jesus prayed all night. I don't know whether any of you have tried to pray all night. It's a challenge. But I can understand Jesus. Maybe he'd spent all the day with the disciples. You've been a bit frustrated with them. Understand he often would be. At night he could go and spend time with his Father. How great that must have been. That intimacy. And if you've been in love with somebody, whatever you're doing, maybe you're at work or whatever task it is, you just want it to finish so you can go and spend time with the person that you love. I don't know about you, I wish my prayer life was like that. Now, I'm not sure where your prayer life is at. You can't wait to be with Jesus, with your Heavenly Father in prayer. But I hope that you're on the right trajectory. And I'm sure there is a correlation between how much we love the Lord Jesus, how much we allow him to reign over us, how much we allow the Holy Spirit to work within us unhindered, and the health of our prayer life. So true prayer is relational. Secondly, I think it requires a right heart. In Psalm 73, verse 25, 26, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. those verses, that they help you to get things into perspective, don't they? To get your heart back on track. C.S. Lewis, you put the first things first and you get other things thrown in as well. If you put the second things first, you probably lose out on both. Is your heart thrilled with the anticipation of going into the presence of your Lord? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to transform your heart so that Jesus reigns unhindered? So true prayer is relational. True prayer requires a right heart. Lastly, true prayer requires awe and wonder. C.S. Lewis, gratitude exclaims very properly, "How good of God to give me this." But adoration asks, what must that being be like, whose momentary, now a word you've probably all heard of, coruscations are like this. I heard that quote last week. Coruscations apparently means like a flash of light. The example was lightning against the dark sky. At the moment, you can see Saturn in the night sky. See a number of planets in the night sky. You can see Saturn. You can't see it with your naked eye. You can't see it with binoculars. You need a very powerful telescope. But in 1979, it was discovered that the outer ring of Saturn, it's braided. It's very intricately braided, or that's the appearance. Why would God give such beauty to something so far away that we can't see? Or another illustration I heard, there are ships that they drop cameras into places where the sunlight has never reached, several miles below the surface of the water. And they see fish. They'd expect them, wouldn't you, to be battleship grey. Not much point in being any other colour, you can't see anything. The bright neon colours. Why would God do that? What sort of God does that? Something we've probably all seen, the Northern Lights. Fascinating colours. Why would God do that? What sort of God does that? We need to be in awe of the God we come to pray. Martin Luther tells a story of a puppy he had, and it used to sit on the table and it used to watch him as he ate. And it watched him intensely as he ate, hoping for a morsel of food. And Luther said, when that puppy is watching me begging, it's transfixed, its mouth is open, its eyes are motionless, nothing will distract it. And then he said, oh, I wish my prayer life was like that dog. All his thoughts of that dog were concentrated on that piece of meat. Luther wished his prayer life, all his thoughts concentrated on his Lord. Challenge. When I think of people who I used to listen to pray, I was in awe as they prayed. It wasn't their theological knowledge. It wasn't their eloquence that I remember. It was their heart. Their heart for the Lord Jesus. It was their fervency with which they prayed. It was reverential. It was humble. But it was so intimate. It was so real. They loved Jesus, and their first priority was to grow deeper into the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to be all consumed by him, and that was evident in their prayers. That's why Jesus was so important to them. That's why they prayed as they did. And I just want to leave you with this. The first and lifelong step to a healthy prayer life is to love Jesus more. Let technique take care of itself. Love Jesus more and be ever more growing into him. Charles Spurgeon, just the joy of true prayer. Wheels of fire will be fastened to your chariot, which had begun to drag right heavily in the mud. And steeds of angelic hosts will be in a moment harnessed to your fiery car till you climb the heavens like Elijah in a rapture of flaming inspiration. Amen.